Our guys did an incredible job at putting that together. That happened in our kitchen that was up there. And now that I've lost you all to your lunch, I'm not sure I can get you back, but I'll do my best to make sure. We're starting, it's a four-week series that we're doing on choices. We're continuing with Core 52. And so today we're going to talk about choose happiness. And what is that? Now, who wouldn't want to choose happiness, right? Who wouldn't say, yep, sign me up for that one? When we say choose sacrifice, that's not actually one of those. But, you know, like not as quickly are we going to have people standing in line for that. But we are talking about what is a part of happiness today and how God designed us in that regard. Now, each week we are talking about three verses that we work on, and so this particular verse that we would talk about, we kind of review those, and so week seven was, do not look on his appearance. You're supposed to do this with me. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And 2 Samuel 7:12, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Great. And then today, see how we're losing a lot of you. I can already feel this. I can feel it happening. So let's kind of maybe work a little harder. Now, my wife and I already had this one memorized in a different translation. So we didn't do this translation this week. We just reviewed what was already in our head. And some of you are doing that, and that's perfect. That's no problem at all. But if you memorize this translation, kind of go over it again with me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And that's a great psalm. You can memorize the whole psalm. It's about six verses, and so that's a great way. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, open our hearts. Teach us today. We'll give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. As we're talking about, I love when we see how God's word is really reinforced by science. And that's what you're going to hear today. You're going to hear how God's word really is. Let's read this together. This is the scripture you just quoted, some of you who had it down. But let's read it together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Some really powerful things that are a part of that. And so let me tell you this, happiness is a choice. And I really believe this, but Scripture reinforces this. It is a choice on whether you are going to choose to be happy. It is a choice that you're making against your will, so you're going to say, yes, this is the case. Now, here's some interesting things that you're going to talk about and listen today. The Scripture says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart or your heart's desires. And so as we look at that, take delight in the Lord. That is telling you you're going to make a conscious choice. You're going to make a conscious choice to take delight. And so we are all a product of all the choices we make. Whoever you are today, you are here because you have made choices all along to be here. You've made choices so God could be able to work in your life. There are all kinds of choices that are a part of this. And so first of all, we're going to say happiness is not based on possessions, position, power, or prestige. So it's not based on any of those things. And so, but what do we see people going after the most? These, right? This is what they think. If I have a little more power, if I have a few more possessions, if I get the prestige, if I have this, then I will be happy. And so they try to pursue these things to find happiness, but they don't give happiness. They don't give happiness. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. So let me say, you are wired and designed, hardwired by God to be able to experience a full life. And when you practice the principles that God has given to us in His Word, you will find this happening. When you don't practice it in your life, you're going to find the reverse. And that's why it's so important that you understand what it needs to be as a part of our lives. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I want to say, because you are hardwired for certain things, whether you have Christ in your life or not, it's actually going to help produce positive results, because you're hardwired for certain things. So, for example, we're going to talk about this, gratitude. When you express gratitude, there's something that happens in your body, in your mind. Chemicals are released, and that brings positive things. Now, whether or not you have Christ in your life is not important, because, see, everyone is created in the image of God. So we're all hardwired for certain things. So what I'm telling you today is important just because that's how we're designed. We have an intelligent designer who designed us so that we could be able to experience fully a full and complete life. Now, how much better when you have Christ in your life, and how much longer lasting, because He gives you the power to do it. And He gives you the power to be able to see that in your life. Now, happiness is not based on what feels right. Because people would say, God wants me to be happy. I would love for you to find that in Scripture. But they say it. And so I'm not happy with this person that God has given me. So God surely wouldn't hold it against me for finding another person who makes me happy. Faulty thoughts, faulty perspective, wrong. That is not right at all. Do I need to say it anymore? You cannot find happiness with a person. And you do not need to make sure you say, I'm not happy now. God wants me to be happy so I can justify leaving this person to find another person who will make me happy. There's a whole lot more to all of that, but I want you to understand we don't find happiness in a person, because there's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. God's word. Happiness is not based on circumstances. No, because we think if I have the right things working, I'm going to be happy. No, that's not either. Because so many circumstances are out of our control. We don't even have any choice about those. You heard and read in your outline or your essay this week would have understood how much is dependent upon circumstances. You cannot do that. That will not make you happy. That's why God said, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so that's exactly what He wants. Happiness is a choice, a byproduct, not a goal. Do you get that? So it's not that you seek happiness, because if you seek happiness, you're going to think you substitute it by things. That's not it. No, it's a byproduct. So what is it a byproduct of? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. You see, yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. So you're going to find happiness by living as God has called you to live. So there are certain things that are a part. Now, this is the part I think is fascinating, because God wants us all to have a dose of happiness. D-O-S-E. You're going to find out. And here's how you are hardwired in your design to experience happiness in your life. So here's some things. I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Now, God told us those things before science ever discovered this D-O-S-E, which is, that's the cool part. Because if you follow God's word, you'll see. First is dopamine. This is a chemical of adventure or pleasure. These chemicals happen in your brain when you experience certain things, and these chemicals are released in your brain, and then you feel things because these chemicals are released in your brain. Interesting how it works. The chemical of adventure or pleasure, it's released when your mind is buzzing with activity and creative energy. It motivates you toward goals. You get a surge from encouragement. Now, what does the Bible say that we should do every time we get together? Encourage one another. Yeah, okay. So you see, God already designed all this stuff to happen in your life and in your mind. Science is just discovering it and saying, oh, here's what needs to happen. You get a surge from an encouragement, a positive email, or you savor a thought. So that's like thinking about it. Laughter is a great chemical. It releases dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. So when you laugh, a merry heart is good like a medicine. Yes, some of you know the scripture. What is that telling us? That's telling us that when you laugh, then there is something good that happens in your brain that releases chemicals that lifts you. That's why when you have a good laugh, you enjoy that, that you feel actually better right after that as well. Now, all of these chemicals are short-lived. They're not long-term. They don't last a long time. But they all are released in that as a result of that. And so that's why laughter is such a good thing for you. Oftentimes people will tell me that they recognize my laugh even when they don't know I'm where I am. Some lady came up to me and said, were you at the Bloomsburg Fair on Tuesday? I said, yes, I was. She said, I didn't see you, but I heard you laugh. And I thought, wow, what a great way to be known. Because I got lots of dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins that are happening when you laugh. And you just did too, just as a result. Dopamine is reduced, now listen to this, by procrastination, feelings of doubt, and a lack of enthusiasm. So when you're putting off things, dopamine is reduced. Increasing dopamine could be as easy as a good night's rest, exercise. Actually, that comes up time and again. Don't tell my wife, because if she hears this, she'll get me off the couch even more often. 30 minutes in 10 days can be able to do it. They tell us 45 days can rewire your brain. 45 days can rewire your brain. So if you try to put a new practice into your life in 45 days, you can rewire your brain and it'll happen much more naturally. So we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us so we don't procrastinate. The night is coming and then no one can work. Sluggards, my wife and I love these sluggard verses in scripture. We laugh about those a lot and talk about those. Sluggards do not plow in season. Those are lazy people. So at harvest time, they look and find, but find nothing. There's a whole bunch of sluggard verses in Proverbs. The sluggard is too lazy to put his hand into the food. I can't even imagine that, but and to put it to his mouth. The sluggard says, there's a lion out there. I'm not going to go out in the streets. He just goes on and on. But second one, dopamine. So it's a D-O-S-E, dopamine, oxytocin. It is the chemical of trust, love, tenderness. A handshake, or even better, a hug. So this is called the hug chemical. that's released. And that's why when you hug somebody, then you are experiencing oxytocin. And so that's the chemical released in your brain that feels good when you get a hug. It's often called the cuddle hormone. It gives a sense of comfort that is a part. So that's why scripture says, greet one another with a holy embrace. So we see there's a thing. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. So scripture talks about that comforting that is a part of our lives. And so we understand that's why that's important, and that's why that would be a part. D-O, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, D-O-S. The chemical of respect, calm, content, or relaxing. It's released when someone asks your opinion, treats you with respect, that feels good, gives a feeling of significance, thank you so much for what you've meant to me when you say that, or applauds your performance. That's why actors love the crowd and the performance, because it releases serotonin in them. But you've got to remember, we don't pursue that. It's a byproduct. And that's what we have to always keep. Because if we fall into the trap of pursuing these things, then it's empty. We have to always realize it's a byproduct. It is called that I got it feeling. It's suppressed by stress and can be relieved by deep breathing and a feeling of safety or at home. Like, so you feel safe, that place where you feel like, okay, so everybody, just go. That is the serotonin that just happened. Okay, do it one more time. That's why that deep breathing, that sigh, that helps to be able to calm us and bring that down. And that's why when we start to find ourselves getting really panicky and stressful, you just need to take some time just to relax, because that's the way it is. It can be increased through the practice of gratitude. Now, isn't that something that science would tell us? You're going to have a happy chemical released in your brain when you give thanks to one another, to God. And isn't that what we try to do all the time and every week when we come together? Yes. When low in serotonin, one feels depressed, anxious, and lonely. Okay? So what should one do when one feels depressed, anxious, and lonely? They should start giving thanks. Start being grateful. Start looking around and see what they have instead of what they don't. Because when you're feeling these feelings, you're feeling that what you don't have rather than what you do have. And if you want to be able to release those into your system, because God designed you for this, he designed you to do that. And that's why we see, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. He tells us over and over about the importance. Endorphins, the last, D-O-S-E, a dose of happiness. Those four chemicals that are released in your body. They're called a happy quartet as a result. The chemical that masks pain is often called the runner's high. So this masks pain as a result, endorphins. Endorphins are released with time spent with people. So when you're together like this, when you're playing games with people, singing together, you release. So when we all sing together, then that releases endorphins, and it feels good as a result. That's a happy chemical. Singing together, making music together, dancing together, exercising together, laughing together. All of those are going to be releasing these into your system. Now, certain foods, this is good news, right? Certain foods are also release endorphins. Dark chocolate. Ooh. Yeah, I know. Meat with tryptophan, like turkey, chicken, lean meats, fish, those all release endorphins. And that's why on Thanksgiving, you're just like, right? Then we see yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, beans, eggs, almonds, and spicy foods. Bananas are known as the happy fruit. So all of these release endorphins in you and are creating that kind of happy feeling. They tell us that they've been making this drink called the Beast during the Beauty and the Beast. It's dark chocolate and spicy like something. So what? Cayenne pepper. Oh yeah, there they know. So supposedly that could be the best combination to release endorphins. So maybe you should order a Beast at the Well. And you'll feel good and glad you did. As a result, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. So here's the things. God's word on happiness, here's what we see. Now you know chemically how you're designed. That was God's design. This isn't just some good feeling kind of sermon that I'm giving you, but it's an importance of understanding how we are made up and how God designed us. Relationships account for the bulk of our happiness. You see, we were designed to be in relationship. That's how it is. And I don't necessarily am saying marriage. That's not it. I'm saying in relationship with one another. You see, godly relationships increase our happiness. This releases endorphins. You were not made to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Good. You knew that. That because that was scripture in Genesis 1. We talked about that. So there's an importance of being in relationship. What do we want to do when we're depressed? We want to be alone. See, we retreat. So what does that do? That increases your depression. You were not made to be alone. You're made to be in relationship. And so we need to make sure that that is a part. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand with the sinners or join in with mockers. Psalm 1:1. So this Psalm 1, 2, and 3 are perfect for helping us to understand you're made to be in godly relationships and healthy. Meditation is a great way to increase dopamine. Meditating on God's word is at the top of ways to change your brain patterns. So if you're a depressed individual, memorize scripture. It's going to help you change your brain patterns. 45 days, you can help change that brain pattern from depression to something that's positive. And so there's an importance of understanding, and it's going to feel good as a result. Because proteins hold our thoughts. Our thoughts literally take up real estate in our brains. So the more we meditate on positive thought, the larger it grows. As we meditate, we release the addictive dopamine that determines happiness. And so that's why God said meditate on the word day and night. Why? We're going to find a greatest joy when we do. So this is all part of how God has wired you and designed you. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And that's how we're going to find that. Now, you know there's a lot of conversation about meditation today. Eastern mysticism talks about it, which is they've found a way to be able to increase it, but it's the wrong way. It does increase those whole things that we've talked about because that's how you're wired, but it's not fulfilling it in God's intention and purpose. So he wants us to meditate on his word. That's why the Bible is the most important part. Serving others will bring significance, releasing serotonin in our brains. So why should we serve one another? Scripture tells us all over the place, but it's going to increase serotonin. That's why God designed you to make sure you find joy in serving. And that's all part of that. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing that fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. So we're producing fruit by serving one another. Let me close by saying happiness is for all who seek God. Paul was an incredible example of this. And so I share with you his words from Philippians. How about you read it together with me? I think that'll help stick in your mind a little better. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, here's what's interesting about this passage. It's a great passage. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. His circumstances didn't dictate his happiness. If you're saying, if you had to live in my place, you wouldn't be so happy. Oh, really? That's a choice. That's a choice. So you choose whatever you want. Paul was in prison. He was not able to do what he wanted to do. He was restricted, but he didn't let that control him. He didn't let his circumstances dictate his feelings. Don't let your circumstances dictate your happiness. Make a choice. I've given you lots of ways to increase those. Paul had two co-workers in conflict, Euodia and Syntyche, these two women who were in conflict, and that's in the first part of this verse, and they were fighting among each other, and he was like, ladies, please, this is not the answer. We're all in relationships, and if you're not careful, you let the relationships around you control your happiness. It's your choice. You do not have to choose to let relationships dictate who you are and how you live and how you feel. He didn't let relationships destroy his happiness. Don't let your relationships determine your happiness. What happens? I hear people, if I could only find a partner who could make me happy. I want to tell you, no one can make you happy but yourself. God in you, he wants you to find joy, but you need to be determined. It's not in someone else that's going to determine that. It's in my decision of how I'm going to handle life. It's in your choice. Happiness is a choice. Paul was determined to choose happiness. And so what did he do? He fixed his thoughts on Scripture. Look at that passage of Scripture. It's a great one to review over and over. It's a good one to memorize and meditate on. It's really excellent. Fix your thoughts on what brings positivity in life. This is not just a Norman Vincent Peale kind of positive, power of positive thinking. This is Scripture. And he says, what should you fix your thoughts on? What is true? What is good? What is admirable? I mean, he gives you a list. So what should you do? If you're going to have happiness, you can be as negative as you want, but it's not going to bring happiness. You're going to only find it when you fix your thoughts on what God has told us to right there in Scripture. Paul was putting into practice what God had taught him. So put God's word into practice. It'll bring peace. And that's how he closes. Then the God of peace will be with you. Choose happiness. That's a choice on your part. It's a choice on what you're going to decide. And you need to say, by God's power and his help, his work in me, I am choosing happiness, because that is how I am wired and designed from the very beginning. God wants each one of us to fully experience that. You'll only experience it when you use his biblical principles and apply those to your life. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Lord, we choose you first. We choose you to live in us, to live through us, and to let the light of Christ be seen in us. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.